Welcome to Asbury. I'm Brother Hammett, and I'm so glad that you're with us today. As you prepare to worship with us on our live stream, I invite you to make space wherever you are for worship, if you're able. You may want to silence your devices and make yourself comfortable, maybe light some candles. Please do take just a moment and let us know that you're here. You can do that in a couple of different ways. The first way is to scan the QR code on your screen. All you have to do is open the camera on your phone or smart device and aim it at the screen, and you'll receive an invitation to open our sign-in webpage. Or you can just make a comment in the chat or like the video. If you're looking for a church home, you're always welcome at Asbury. If you'd like to visit about joining the Asbury family, just email me at the address below, and I'd be glad to work out a time when we can visit. I pray that God blesses you through this service today. We'll begin in just a moment.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Asbury. It's good to be in the Lord's house. I'm Amy Livers. I will be your liturgist this morning. Thank you for joining us. This morning, Brother Nick will be continuing our sermon series, Eat the Frog. His sermon is entitled Home Edition. We want to remind you that we need you to register your attendance, so you can either use the little tear-off piece in your bulletin, or there is a QR code you can scan. That way we'll know you were here and we can stay connected with you.
QR codes that will give you the opportunity to sign up for one of our long-term disciple Bible studies this fall. It's been 3 years since we've had the opportunity to offer these courses, and Brother Hammett and I are excited and thankful for the opportunity to bring that to you. If it's been 3 years since you've engaged in a Bible study, that might be 3 years too long, and so it'd be a great time to be with us. Brother Hammett is going to offer Disciple 1, which takes you through the entire Bible on Wednesday evenings. And then myself, along with Matt Harward, we are going to offer Disciple 3 on Tuesday evenings. And that will focus on the prophets in the Old Testament and Paul's letters in the New Testament. It's a wonderful opportunity for fellowship and study. And so I pray that you consider taking one of those courses this fall, or at least giving it a shot. Sometimes if you just dip your toe in the water, you never know what God has planned for you. So there you go.
Please stand as you're able and join me in the call to worship. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God.
But in comparison, the days of our life on this earth are but a moment.
So teach us, Lord, to count our days that we may be wise.
Meet us here this morning. Remind us of your steadfast love so that we may rejoice in you at all our days.
Yes, let us thank and praise God for every minute. Please join us in singing hymn 377, It Is Well With My Soul. Please join me in our invocation. God of love and mercy, help us to remember that we are not just individuals out to achieve our own agendas. You have joined us together as a family. Unite our hearts in love. Remind us that we are stronger together. Show us how to love each other sacrificially, graciously, and generously every day. May we serve each other, performing even the smallest acts of kindness for one another without complaint or scorekeeping. We ask that our love for one another reflect Christ's sacrificial and unconditional love so that others will look at our home and our family and see you. Let our love for one another draw others to know your love for them. Amen.
Created for His love, my God's own land, my God's own land, my God's own land.
Amen. Beautiful. With one heart, let us go to God in prayer. Gracious, loving God, we gather this morning to give you thanks. We thank you for this beautiful morning that you have graced us with, for this blessed opportunity to gather as your children in this space to praise and glorify your name. God, this morning we walk through the doors of this church in different spaces in our lives, in different places, with different hurts and worries and fears and anxieties. And God, we know that you cut through all of that and meet us right where we are to shower us with your unconditional love and your grace. God, this morning we ask that you are with us, that you move powerfully among us through the presence of your Holy Spirit. Transform us, God, through the music, through the message, through the scripture. Mold us into the image of Christ that you call us to be. God, this morning we pray for all of those who are hurting. We pray for all of those who are lost. We pray for all of those, God, who have turned from you. We pray this morning that through your grace they are brought back home. We pray for our nation and for our state. We pray for our city here in Little Rock. We pray for our church here at Asbury. We pray specifically for Clifford Smith and for June Glazier. We pray for Fred Williams and Barbara Clark. Pray for Megan Arnold, Joyce Dennis, Jean Hammett, Mark Schimmer. We pray for our friends and neighbors that we will encounter today during their Stone Soup mission. May we be a warm smile and a hug and a handshake, and be above all else the grace of God flowing through us to bless them. And God, we pray for all of those whose names sit at the top of our hearts, the front of our minds, and the tips of our tongues. We know that you are at work in all of their lives in a mighty way, so we can do nothing but give you thanks. And God, this morning we thank you above all else for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank you for the heavy price he paid on the cross, a price we could not pay ourselves. We thank you for the victory over death at the resurrection that broke us free from the chains of sin and death that bound all of us. We thank you, God, for Jesus' earthly ministry, for all that he has taught us, is teaching us, and will teach us. And we thank you, God, for the power of prayer, for this moment where we can come and bring our burdens and our joys to you. And we thank you for knowing how to pray. Jesus taught us that with the Lord's Prayer. We will now say that together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Preparing to take our offering, I'll remind you that there is a QR code if you'd like to give online. Otherwise, the ushers will bring the plate, will pass the plates. Giving our offering, giving of our finances, is one of the ways that we take our faith from our homes and share it outward. And so we're invited to participate in the kingdom as we give our offering. Let's pray. Father, thank you for inviting us into your work. Thank you for providing for us, and help us to give back generously to you, so that your kingdom can grow in the world. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." At this time, I'd like to invite all of our young Christians up to a children's message with Miss Nicole.
Good first week of school? Yes. Do we like our teacher? Yes. Good. Okay, well, I have a question for you. I'm going to scoot over so I can see you a little better. Do you like being at home? Yes. Yes. I'm a home buddy. I like to be at home. That's like where I like to be all the time. So, what's your favorite thing to do when you're at home? Lay on the couch, eat donuts. I need to come to your house. Just eating in general. Yeah, you can eat whenever you want. You like to dance? Dancing and donuts, I guess I'm coming over. Yeah. What about games? Do you have games at your house you like to play? Harry Potter game. Good, yeah. Do you have, like, art supplies that you like to use? Paint. Wow, that sounds good. Yeah. Well, that all sounds pretty fun. So, when you're at home, do you keep yourself pretty busy? Yeah. Do you feel like most of your free time is filled doing the things you want to do? Yeah. Well, let me ask you this. Do you think when we're at home that we should make time for God? Yeah? You think so? Yeah. How can we make time for God when we're at our house or when we're at home? What can we do?
Pray.
We can pray. That's right. You think of anything else? Can we talk about God at home? Yeah. Can we talk about him with our family and our siblings? Or yeah. What about, how can we have reminders of God at home? Could we maybe have something on the wall that reminds us of God? Maybe a Bible verse? Maybe, or a cross? Does anyone have a cross at their house? No, you don't have any crosses? Your mom says yes, Ira. Let's see. If you drew a picture, a beautiful picture, could you maybe write a Bible verse on that picture to help you remember? Maybe so, yeah. What if you have guests come to your house? But you would know it was there. So even if it was blending in, you could still put it on there. What about if guests come over? Could you talk to your guests for a little bit about God, maybe? Sure. Could you, if you have guests coming for dinner, could you pray before you eat dinner with them? Yeah. You've done that at Thanksgiving. That's a great time to do that. That's a great time. Well, I want you to remember that when you're at home and you've got all these cool things that you want to be doing and you want to just spend your time the way you want to spend it, because I'm the same way, I want you to remember that we have to keep God at the center of our homes, okay? And our scripture reading today, and Brother Nick is going to bring our sermon today, and he's going to tell us more ways that we can do that. So I want you to listen and try to think if you hear ways that we haven't talked about already. That sound good? I've got some yawns. I think it's time we end this. All right, let's pray together. Dear God, help us to keep you at the front of our minds everywhere we go. Help us to keep you at the center of our homes. We love you. Amen.
Thank you, Nicole. It's wonderful to be with all of you this morning. I'm Nick Schimmer. I'm the associate pastor here at Asbury. My colleague is Reverend Hammett Evans, and if we play a game of Where's Waldo, we can probably find him this morning. There he is, all the way in the back. Brother Hammett's taking a much-deserved rest this morning. He's given me about 3 months off from the pulpit, which is maybe a blessing for all of you, but it was much needed as I chased youth around the world and have had a lot going on at home and things like that. So I'm thankful to Brother Hammett for that and for that time off. But I am excited and thankful to be back with you. I know who wasn't here last week, by the way, because all of you have come up to me and asked me what it means to eat the frog. And so if nothing else, we have some interest in the artwork on our bulletin. And the whole purpose of this series is to look at what we need to do when our lives get busy to keep our spiritual practices centered and grounded in certain aspects of our life. We looked last week at school. Brother Hammett did that. We're talking this week about how to keep our spiritual practices alive and healthy at home. And then next week we will wrap up the series on Labor Day weekend by looking at how we can do that at work. And so thankful for that. And I pray that the end result is that you find at least one thing that you can grab onto that will help you keep those spiritual practices alive at times when your life gets very busy. Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Deuteronomy. We're in chapter 6, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 9. Now these are the commandments, the regulations, and the case laws that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you to follow in the land you are entering to possess, so that you will fear the Lord your God by keeping all his regulations and his commandments that I am commanding you, both you and your sons and daughters, all the days of your life, so that you will lengthen your life. Listen to them, Israel. Follow them carefully so that things will go well for you, and so that you will continue to multiply exactly as the Lord your ancestors' God promised you in a land full of milk and honey. Israel, listen, our God is the Lord, only the Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your being, and all your strength. These words that I am commanding you today must be always on your mind. Recite them to your children. Talk about them when you are sitting around your house and when you are out and about, when you are lying down and when you are getting up. Tie them on your hand as a sign. They should be on your forehead as a symbol. Write them on your house's door frames and on your city gates. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious, loving God, we thank you for this humble moment where we can hear your word proclaimed. Be with us during this time and this message. May it move us and transform us into the image of Christ you call us to be. May it lead us to lead a deeper spiritual life in our homes and with our families and with our loved ones. We ask all this in your son's holy name. Amen. And I do want to start out this message this morning with a heartfelt thank you. There's been so many of you that have offered prayers and well wishes for my dad. And for most of you, you may know that my dad's been on the prayer list for about a month here at the church, and he's been in the hospital for a little bit longer than that as he works through a lot of health issues, and we're doing that right alongside him. I am happy to share that on Tuesday, he was finally able to come home. He's come home to our house where he will live with Jennifer and I. And while he does have a long way to go, I think it's good for the soul and good for the psyche to be home and to be around family and be around people that you love. He also got to watch his first Cardinals game in over a month. He didn't get to watch any while he was in the hospital. And if you're a Cardinals fan, you know that the Cardinals won 8 games in a row very recently, and he came home and they immediately lost 2 of 3. And so I told my dad, if that continues, he is going back to the hospital, and we will get him back out after the World Series. That may sound harsh to some of you, but if you know my dad, it got a chuckle out of a man who does not chuckle very often. And so he's home, and we're happy, and you know, we also know that, you know, caring for him properly and getting him to all of his treatments and checkups adds a whole slew of responsibilities and duties to our schedule. A schedule that is already packed full. It's a schedule that includes getting 3 kids off to school every morning, working 2 full-time jobs, Little League baseball, drum lessons, voice lessons, laundry, dishes, paying bills, car maintenance, caring for the pets, taking care of ourselves physically and mentally. Then we sprinkle in a bit of seminary, and somewhere along the way, Jennifer and I have to find time to be husband and wife, to connect and mature our relationship. And it's honestly depressing reading all that after I wrote it down. I didn't realize how long that list was, and I'm sorry. And I'm sure that I'm leaving some things out, but it's a good example of just how quickly our schedules can fill up, how our duties in life can become so overwhelming at times. And some of you may have a schedule that is that busy right now. Some of you may be coming out of that season of your life. And some of you may be heading into that season and you just don't know it yet. And so what we end up doing, since there's so many hours in a day and only so much of us to go around, when life gets busy, we become forced to prioritize our duties. We take the items we think are least important and we shove them out of our lives, or at least put them on the back burner. Sometimes it might be something as simple as caring for our physical or mental health. We may not exercise as much as we should, or we may not read as much as we should to keep our brains growing and healthy. And unfortunately, sometimes that also includes our spiritual practices. They tend to get pushed to the back burner. And first, it may just be we go a day or two without praying, a day or two without reading scripture, a day or two without Christian fellowship, and then slowly that turns into days and weeks and months, and before you know it, the only time you're engaging with God is in an hour or two on Sunday mornings. And it happens, okay? And maybe you're not at that place right now, but maybe it has in the past, and maybe it could. And maybe some of you find yourself in that place right now where you can't remember the last time that the spiritual practices in your home were healthy. So my hope today is that we can discover ways that Christ can stay at the center of our homes and also at the head of our homes. So, and this is a big frog to eat, I'm just going to tell you right now. It requires some sacrifice. It requires some commitment. But remember this. We will always make time for the relationships and activities that are most important to us. Let me say that again. We will always make time in our lives for the relationships and activities that are most important to us. Filling our schedule with things other than God is a very real thing today. We live in a very busy society, but it is not a new thing. Let's check in on the Israelite people in Deuteronomy, and we'll see what I mean. This passage I just read to you in Deuteronomy 6 is part of a larger narrative from chapters 4 through 6, where Moses is instructing the Israelite people on how to live in right relationship with God and with each other. In fact, this passage is on the heels of chapter 5, where the people of Israel are given the Ten Commandments. God has placed structure in the lives of the people of Israel, and if you know anything about the story of Exodus, it was much needed. It was much needed because God was taking a ragtag group of former slaves, and he was forming them into a religious people, a nation that would honor him and be an example to the world. And it wasn't easy. Along the way, they engaged in idol worship. You all remember that. They literally took gold from their bodies, they melted it down, and built a golden calf out of it. Do you know how much work that would have to take time to do that? I can barely build a wheelchair ramp, and they're out in the middle of nowhere building a golden calf. They were also complaining a lot. They even complained about the buffet of free manna that God had provided for them daily. They were hungry, and God said, "Here you go," and they still complained about it. I have a major dietary flaw in my life, and that is McDonald's French fries. Am I the only one? Is anybody else a victim for McDonald's French fries? I'm not proud of it, but it's a real problem. I think that they are delicious. And on occasion, I will get a free order of McDonald's fries in the app, and I thank the Lord for it. The Israelite people were getting free food directly from God, and they still complained. And lastly, and this is the hardest one for me, on multiple occasions they expressed a deep desire to return to their former life in Egypt. Let me say that in a different way. They were willing to choose slavery over God because the life of slavery was comfortable, they knew what to expect, and in their minds it was easier. So yes, the structure that God put in place was much needed then, and it is much needed today. Why is it needed today? Because we can fall victim to the same issues. When we don't make time for God in our lives, we can build our worldly idols, we can complain about how our life feels empty, and we can run back to a life of captivity, a life that Jesus Christ set us free from by his mighty sacrifice. We still live out and we are still called to keep the commands of God in our life today. Why? Well, because in our faith, as in other aspects of our life, guardrails and structure are necessary to give our life richness, to give our life depth and purpose. And structure isn't always fun. Guardrails aren't always convenient, but they exist for a reason. Here's a real life example of that. My kids would love nothing more than to come home from school, turn on the video games, eat candy, and go to bed whenever they want. That is their ideal life. And they could do that. They can't, but they could. And I would still love them as much as I have ever loved them before. They'd probably never move out, which would be a whole different issue entirely. But I would still love them nonetheless. But they have chore time, and they have homework time, and they have a bedtime. And these aren't popular rules, but we have them in place because we know these practices down the road will make their lives richer. Our spiritual practices can be the same way. It's not always convenient. Sometimes it's not always the most fun. But they're there to help us lead deeper, richer spiritual lives. It allows us to sync up with God and maintain the love of God in our hearts, a love that extends beyond us to those around us. It becomes the bedrock of our homes and the foundation of our relationships. It compels us to talk about it with our children and grandchildren, to our closest friends and the stranger, just as the Israelites were instructed in this passage. Because what it is faith lived out. It is faith in action. And yes, we are saved by faith and faith alone, and nothing will ever change that. But it is the structure of our spiritual practices and the keeping of them that helps us to continually stand in awe of the Lord. God calls us to keep his commandments and teach them to our children, to keep them on our mind always. Our lives can become so hectic, so distracting that it can be hard to do. So here are some practices that I hope will help you to keep Christ at the center of your life and your home. Number one, first and foremost, be intentional about beginning and ending your day with Christ. Take a moment and think about what the first thing is that you do in the morning, and what is the last thing that you do before you go to bed. For some of us, we may begin and end our day with the Word. We may begin and end our day in prayer. You may have a great system, but I ask you, if you had a major disruption to your schedule today, how would that system hold up? Would it stay in place? I had one last year, and it required me to change my entire life system. When Liam, our middle child, left elementary school and went into middle school, for the first time, we had three kids going to three separate schools in Cabot at one time. It was a nightmare trying to get them to school in the morning, and we had to start our day 30 minutes earlier. That 30 minutes was the time that I had allotted in my day for prayer, for scripture, for solitude. And so for a little while, that part of my life actually went away. I didn't engage in the Word. I didn't engage in prayer, and I could feel it in my life. I could feel an emptiness in my soul. And so I had to adjust my schedule and start waking up 30 minutes earlier at 5:30 instead of 6. And that's not easy to do. I love a solid 8 hours of sleep. But I had a choice. 8 hours of sleep and no time with God, or 7.5 and time with God. I went with the 7.5, and it was so helpful and beneficial to my life. And that may not be a system that works for you, but I'll give you another example. A couple years ago, some of you may remember, I threw out a challenge to the congregation to join me in reading the entire Bible in a year. And I put a sheet up on Facebook, and you could follow along and read passages. And I do know of one person that completed that challenge. I won't name him because he didn't quite get it done in a year, but he got it done in 1.5 years, and that ain't bad because the Bible's a really thick book. And the way he did that was on his rides to work, he would listen to the Bible on audio. And so that was his time in his morning commute to work to be alone with God, to start his day with God. And so there's a lot of different ways to do it. That wouldn't work for me. I need music on the way to work. Sometimes it's Christian music. Sometimes it's Garth Brooks. Sometimes it's Guns N' Roses. But that worked for him, and it was a perfect, perfect example. There's no perfect formula for it, but I encourage you to be intentional. In Psalm 143, verse 8, David wrote, "Let the morning bring me your word of your unfailing love, for I have put trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for you I entrust my life." Jesus often taught us about this. He would go off and pray alone, and he was intentional about making time to commune with the Father, to pray and feel God's presence. And it's not just for your sake, it's for the sake of those around you. When you are centered and rooted in Christ, it impacts everyone around you. And it impacts how you approach your day. It is sustaining nourishment like water for an empty soul. The second one I want to share with you, and this is really a neat one and a fun one, is find moments to share Christ's love with each other daily. Paul told the Roman church to be devoted to one another in love, and to give preference to one another in honor. Build a home that is dedicated to humble servitude and to sharing the gospel. Look for ways to make each other's day better. Put words of encouragement in a lunchbox or briefcase or purses. Share what you learned in your morning scripture reading with your spouse, children, or grandchildren. Be willing to sacrifice your wants to meet other people's needs. Find joy in the little moments and watch the gospel spread through your home. This is nothing spectacular. In fact, gospel-sharing homes are very ordinary. They may not always be spotlessly clean, and nor the children perfectly behaved. But they are a place which family members clearly love each other, and the Spirit of the Lord is felt by those who visit. A home that is gospel-centered is a home that attracts others because you feel that love when they enter. Is your home a gospel-centered, loving home? And if you live by yourself, find ways to share Christ's love with those closest to you. If all of your kids have left the home, send them texts of encouragement and love. Look for opportunities to share Christ's love at the grocery store, or the salon, or the bowling alley, wherever you gather with friends. Being centered in Christ is seeing opportunities that are placed before you and then acting on them. And this is a perfect time to tell you about one such opportunity today. Lots of members of your church family will gather at Quapaw Quarter this afternoon for our Stone Soup Mission. We will serve our friends who need a meal and need a warm jacket and a fresh pair of shoes, and we're going to meet every one of those needs. And so I pray and hope that you're with us during that time. And then lastly, and this is a hard one, be accountable to one another. As Methodists, we are compelled to ask the question, how is it with your soul? We have a long history of accountability in spiritual practices. We check in on one another, we pray for one another, we worship and study together. And these practices aren't just for your church, they are for your home as well. Last story about my kids, I promise. In Cabot, once the kids get to seventh grade, they are in junior high. And it's the first time that I say that school really gets real. They have to go to 7 classes every day. They're actually given homework to do every night, which is the worst thing that could happen. It becomes a lot more demanding for our children. And we thought when Tristan first got into 7th grade that things were going pretty well. And then round about the 3rd time that I was sitting at the kitchen table doing a project at 9 p.m. the day before it was due, we realized that we did not have a great system in place. We didn't have a strong foundation for him to develop and thrive. So we needed to change our approach as parents. And the change was really quite simple. We just have to start asking questions, accountability questions, about each of his classes to see what homework he was assigned. He had to adjust, but we had to adjust in the way we parented him. And it was because we didn't have faith in him. He's always been a good student. But that was a significant change in the way he was experiencing school. And so that extra layer of accountability was built in to help him manage his time and to get the most out of his experience. Asking simple questions each day can go a long way. And it's the same in our spiritual practices. When we check in with one another, engage with our loved ones, and ask them how they are doing spiritually, we are faithfully investing in them. We are sharing the heart of Christ rooted in concern for those we love. And it's asking simple questions in a loving way. Another key to accountability is to engage in spiritual practices together in the home. Pray together, read scripture together, serve together. Paul told the Thessalonian church to build one another up, and that call remains true for us today. Look after one another, desire those around you to grow and thrive in their faith. And don't be afraid to ask the hard questions or do the hard work with those you love. King David was undoubtedly a flawed king. His sins are well recorded, of which there are many, just like you and me. But what made David a great king was that he was consistent in seeking counsel from the Lord and offering the Lord praise for all that he accomplished. In short, he stayed in tune with the Lord as best he could. Near the end of his life, David wrote a praise to the Lord, and you can read that in 2 Samuel chapter 22. And I encourage you to do so today. It's absolutely beautiful. There's a portion of that praise that I always come back to when I am wanting to push my spiritual practices to the back burner. And it helps to remind me why I need to stay in tune with God above anything else in my life. So I invite you to listen to these words of King David. As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord, and who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and keeps my way secure. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He causes me to stand on the heights. He trains my hand for battle. My arms can bend the bow of bronze. You make your saving help my shield. Your help has made me great. You provide a broad path for my feet so that my ankles do not give way. And I say all that in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the people of God said, amen. I invite you to stand and join me for our affirmation of faith this morning, the Apostles' Creed, number 881. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the 3rd day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father and will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
today as we prepare our hearts and minds and sing together our final hymn. I encourage you, if you're interested in becoming a member of Asbury United Methodist Church, if you're with us this morning at the end of our final hymn, you can come down to the front. If you're watching online, you're welcome to contact us through the church office. You can email Brother Hammett or myself. We would love to talk to you about membership. As we engage in this final hymn, if you are so moved to do so, the altar, the prayer rails are open, and you are welcome to engage your faith in whichever way you are so moved. Our final hymn today is Happy the Home When God Is Here, God Is There, number 445.
Today. I'm just here to shake hands.
Okay. Friends of Asbury, I want to introduce to you Jerry and Lynn Young. Come on down so everybody can see you. And Jerry and Lynn have been attending Asbury for some time now as guests, as visitors, and as friends. They have attended our Starting Point class, so they got to hear all about life at Asbury, and they thought it sounded pretty good to them. So they would like to join us today. They are transferring their membership from a Methodist church. Where is that? In yes, and they were there 15 years in that Methodist church. They've been Methodist for 15 years. And so they are going to transfer their membership here today. I invite you to turn in your hymnals to page 38 to join us in the congregational response, which will come right after Jerry and Lynn's membership vows. Jerry and Lynn, as members of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. Members of the household of God, I commend Jerry and Lynn to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase their faith, confirm their hope, and perfect them in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen. Welcome to the family. It's good to have you.
Oh, I got you.
Welcome, Jerry.
as we wrap up this morning, Jerry and Lynn will process out with us, and so they will be there to receive you as you come out. Just a few announcements before we get out of here this morning. First of all, if you're looking for coffee and donuts this morning, head over to the Wilson Activity Center. We have fresh hot coffee. We have the fresh Shipley's donuts that have been meticulously cut in half, but you're welcome to take two if you want a whole donut. We do have Stone Soup Mission this afternoon over at the Quapaw Quarter United Methodist Church. We'll gather at 1:30 and serve till about 3:30 or 4 o'clock. We pray that you are with us. The youth have graciously carried that for 2 years, but we need more hands, and so please plan on being there if you can. On September 18th, I know it's a long way down the road, but we are going to have a baby shower for our new diaper pantry. We are going to start offering diapers and wipes and those items out of our food pantry here at Asbury. And so we're collecting those items now, and we'll do that through, but we'll have a baby shower during the Sunday school hour on the 18th. We'll also have a packing party that night at 5 o'clock with City Connections, and we'll be packing, I believe, apple and cinnamon oatmeal. We want to prepare as many meals as we can. If you're interested in being part of that, talk to me, talk to Brother Hammett, or see Susan Gillet. And then lastly, we are still looking for a drummer in the launch service, so if any of you are a drummer and you have been keeping that from us, we need you to come play with Caleb. Or if you know somebody, please be there. And then lastly, we will wrap up this series, Eat the Frog, next week with our work edition, fitting since it's Labor Day weekend. I'll be in the pulpit here as Brother Hammett will be out on vacation. Please receive this blessing. Serve your God with patience and with passion. Be deliberate in living out your faith. Be steadfast in celebrating the Spirit that works within you, and may peace be your way in the world. God loves you. Go in peace. Amen.